Vic does for you is build character. You know, I had a friend who has a little son who was born with a deformity in the mouth, not sure quite what it is, but so he goes to school and he talks a little bit funny, and the kids tease him. So one day he came home to his mom and had, you know, after being teased all day long, he was discouraged and depressed, and she counseled him as best she could and told him about what the Lord can do for him, you know, to build him in that situation. And then as she was praying for him, she wrote this song, well, the first part of this, we're going to sing a couple here, a medley, a couple songs. But the first one here she wrote, the Lord kind of just spoke these words to her. And some of you, I'm sure, may feel the same way. Holy beloved, you know who you are. You are the righteous of God's morning star, redeemed of the Father, cleansed from all sin. Stand tall in Jesus, stand tall in Him. Here comes Jesus, see Him walking on the water.
Different verses of scripture this morning, so if you can't find it any faster than me, maybe you ought to get a pencil and paper and write them down and find them later, or just trust me. Reading out of a Cambridge Bible, so I guess it ought to be right. Anyway, Steve, that was very good this morning, and almost exactly the same thing that I was going to preach on, so I guess I'll do it anyway. Look at Mark chapter 16, verse 17. You know, today there's a lot of
signs that people are claiming, are using, are emphasizing,
and the Bible is not unclear about the emphasis or the way we ought to teach and preach, the way we ought to run a church, what the signs are, what they are for, and I'd like to make that clear to anyone here that might be, you know, not understanding what the signs are for and what signs are there. So let's go to a lot of different verses about signs. First of all, Mark 16, verse 17, you'll find that it mentions four signs. It says right there, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." These four signs, here you'll find them. They are, "In my name shall they cast out devils." That's one. "They shall speak with new tongues." That's two. "If they take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." That's three. "And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." These four signs are found in the book of Acts. You'll find all of these are fulfilled in the book of Acts. Something like this happened to the apostles at one time, or to some that follow the apostles. I'm saying we had people raised from the dead by the apostles, those that were following them that believe. You have the speaking in tongues several times in the book of Acts and detailed, studied in detail in the book of 1 Corinthians. And you have Paul was bit by a serpent back in the last couple of chapters of Acts, and he lived, and the poison didn't hurt them. You'll find these four signs all the way through the book of Acts, and they're gradually diminishing by the end. One thing about signs is that people have a real misunderstanding about what they're for. You know, you find all kinds of people, and we really have this problem in Mexico. The people have the idea that these signs are given to all Christians as part of our right. Now, we know over there in one place that it says that by His stripes we were healed. And I personally believe that He's not saying that by His stripes we are physically healed. I believe that He's saying by His stripes that we are spiritually healed. Amen. I believe that all of us were healed by His stripes. Amen. I believe that He did carry our infirmities, but I believe He's talking about spiritual infirmities. And the reason why, and I'll show you the reason why I believe that He's not talking about physical healing or physical signs that are so important to Him. You know, you find these people emphasize these signs, they have the idea that this is the most important thing. Or at least they give across that understanding that this is what is important. These signs that you can have, whether it be tongues, or whether it can be healed, or whether you're casting out devils, or whether you're doing all these other things, they make it like this is the most important thing. This is the center of their fellowship. Let's look at some different verses. Look at Romans chapter 15 and verse 19. I'd like to show you that, first of all, signs have a purpose in the Scripture. These four signs have a purpose in the Scripture. One of their purposes is that they are a proof of apostleship. Look at Romans 15, verse 19. He says, look at verse 18. Paul is speaking. He says, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." Paul makes a point that the gospel was fully preached by him throughout all these things, and all of these miracles and signs were given to him so that the gospel would be made a much greater effect. Notice also in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. Paul says, "Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." Here he's saying the signs of an apostle. These are not signs that are given to all Christians. These are signs specifically designated with a purpose. Now, what purpose do the signs that we're seeing today have? We'll get into some more about the signs that we do see today or that people are claiming today. But here it says, Paul says very clearly that the signs are of an apostle. Paul is being attacked. People are saying, "You're not an apostle." And how does he prove that he's an apostle? He proves he's an apostle by the fact that, look at all these signs that have been done by me. Now, if you read it, that's exactly what it says. I'm not interpreting anything. I'm not deciding that I don't like signs, so I'm going to find a way to get out of it. He says, the signs of an apostle in mighty miracles and wonders were done by me, proving that he's an apostle. So one of the purposes of signs is to prove who are apostles and who are not. And it says over there in several places, it talks about proofs of apostleship. Proofs of apostleship. Some people find out who are apostles and who are not. You can find out whether they are or not. One of the things is that signs are a proof of apostleship. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Another point about signs is that signs were specifically for the Jews. Signs were to convince the Jews. Always the Jews are demanding signs. All the way through the Scriptures, the Jews are given signs. And here it says the sign is for the Jew. Sign, the Jews seek after the sign. One of the things you'll find about signs is that they're for the Jews. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." But he answered and said unto them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas." Jesus says, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign." Now, I want to know, what is it that makes Jesus think that an evil and adulterous generation seeking after a sign? You see, Jesus Christ, these people coming up here, and they had seen all kinds of signs, all kinds of miracles, wondrous things, and they say, "We want to see a sign." Well, he said, "Well, what have you been seeing?" But he said, he made a statement that no sign is going to be given to you except the sign of the prophet Jonas, which is Jesus Christ dying and resurrected in 3 days. That's the sign of the prophet Jonas. John 2:18. Says, then answered the Jews and said unto him, "What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up." You see, the sign that Jesus was interested in giving was the sign of his resurrection. Now look at Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24. "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." You know, there's a real danger in looking for signs. There's a real danger in even giving importance to signs. You know, there's a real danger in giving importance to the fact that you were healed. There's a real danger in giving importance, some kind of a spiritual significance, to anything you see in any church meeting or anything like that, because the Bible says that there's going to be false Christs and false prophets, and he says they're going to have signs and wonders. They're going to speak with tongues, I imagine. They're going to heal. They're going to do all kinds of things that would even deceive the very elect by signs. Mark 13, verse 22. It says, "For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." It says, "But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all these things." Take heed of signs. Take heed of any kind of physical manifestation that you think might prove something. What the Bible has given us, I mean, what the Lord has given us is the Scriptures in order to prove all things. And Amen. To find out what is the truth, it's the Scriptures. You'll find that also signs we'll get to that. Signs are for to prove the Scriptures. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Verse 8, 2 Thessalonians 2:8, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." You know, today, all across, I can speak especially for Mexico, all across Mexico, there is a real movement of signs, of healing, of tongues, and also across this nation too. There's a great movement of people purporting to have great signs and things that are happening. And of course, most of these things aren't so great. And if you would look at them objectively, you notice that they're not anything really special. But they are claiming signs. I'm telling you, they're claiming them wrong. They're not right in claiming these signs as their basis for faith or as their basis for belief. These signs are going to follow Satan and all of his workers. They're going to follow the Antichrist. They're going to be signs. And if you will believe these signs here, I don't know how many times I've talked to somebody and said, "When did you get saved?" And they said, "Well, I got healed at such and such a time. And so from then on I was saved," or "I started meeting here." And that was the reason for belief. You know, over there, when Lazarus and the rich man, the parable, because we have that argument about whether that's a parable or not. The fact is, Lazarus and the rich man, they both die, and one of them, I mean, the rich man asks Lazarus to go back and asks Abraham to send Lazarus back to prove to his brothers. And Abraham says, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe even though one rose from the dead. The fact is, these signs are not meant to convince you of anything, except what they're claimed to convince you. They did not give signs in order to get you saved. He wants you to believe in order to be saved. Look at Matthew 7:22. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wondrous, wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Once again, we find people that have signs that are not of God. 2 Corinthians 11:13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Now look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2. "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars." There's a lot of liars in the world. There are false Christs, there are false prophets, and they want to deceive you, and you've got to be careful not to be deceived by their lies. You've got to be careful not to be deceived by tongues or feelings
or any other kind of superstition that might make you think that these people are true. And when they're not saying what the Bible says, they're not based on the Bible or what the Scriptures do say, yet they do give you all these signs. The devil also has his signs. You need to be careful. Look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15 says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." The simple believeth every word. You know, I got to the place where I quit believing all the things that these people were telling me. Well, I always had a little doubt. But I got to the place where I could just, somebody said something to me like that and I just didn't believe it. You know, one time we have some brothers that we would deal with, and we would try to explain to them that the danger that they were in an emphasizing the healing or some of the physical promises that God has given us. Some people call it the gain is godliness setup, you know, that people are assuming that if you become godly that you will have gain or things will be going prosperous. But they were dealing with healing, and one day I went down to the Huasteca where these brothers were that we were dealing with, and the brother comes up to me and he says, "Brother, you should have been here yesterday." And I said, "Really? What happened yesterday?" He said, "Two lame men came in and both of them went out walking. Healed them both." I said, "Is that right? Two lame men came in?" And he said, "Yeah," and I didn't believe it at first. And then he walked me into the meeting, and there were the two sets of crutches that they'd come in. They both had something wrong with their feet. I don't know if it's polio or what, but they left the crutches right there on the altar. And you know, I was sort of stunned there. I thought, well, you know, maybe so. I don't know. I can't say that it never happened. You know, they actually think that some of us are against signs or that we're against miracles. Well, we're not against miracles. I'm not against tongues. If you show me the real thing, show me the real thing. I'm for real signs, if there are any real ones out there. But this brother showed me these two pair of crutches, and I really did. I did wonder. And that night we had another meeting, and this lady that had sores all the way down her legs, she comes forward to be healed. So they bring her up forward and they anoint her with oil and they start praying over her. And they prayed, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes over. And while they were praying and everybody was singing or praying something, I sort of moseyed on up to the front because I wanted to see what was going on. This time I wanted to see if something happened. And I got all the way up to the front so that I had a good clear view. And when they got done praying and everything, I was watching the whole time, and they raised their hands and started rejoicing for the miracle that had happened. And I looked, and there was no miracle that had happened. Nothing had happened. The sores were still there. So afterwards, and they sent them on back down to their seats. And afterwards, I went and talked to the pastor, and I said, "Brother, I said, you said that a miracle had happened." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah, brother, we just believe." And I said, "Yeah, but brother, a miracle didn't happen." He said, "Yeah, but brother, you just got to believe." And I said, "Yeah, brother, I believe, but I didn't see a miracle. There was obviously no miracle. I mean, what you did was you told him a fraud. You told him a lie." And you know, it didn't. All the talking I did didn't have any effect on him until I told him. I said, "Brother, you know, yesterday you told me two crippled people got healed." He said, "I don't believe you." And I really thought, I really had honestly considered the fact that maybe two crippled people had gotten healed yesterday. But when I saw that he had said this lady was healed, and she wasn't healed obviously, I decided right then what he had told me yesterday was exactly the same thing. They wanted to believe, or they were afraid not to believe. They had put such emphasis on the healing or on the physical part that they had decided that it was not possible that God would not have healed them. They could not disbelieve. They had to believe. Well, I decided I don't believe them. The Bible says the simple believeth everything. Well, it's time for us to be wise and not believe a lot of the trash that people are talking about. You know, you hear about people on the radio. There's this lady just the other day. We trying to talk to her about the gospel, and she had heard the idea of spiritual experiences on the radio, and she had prayed for her daughter, and supposedly her daughter was healed, although she's still sick, but she was supposedly healed, and she had this unction. She called it an unction. I don't really know what it was. She said it was a warm feeling. Anyway, for the life of me, because of that feeling, I could not get her lost. I could not make her realize she had never met the Lord Jesus. She had never known the Lord Jesus. I could not get her lost because of that. And to this day, as far as I know, she's lost. Now, that is a real danger, and that somebody would actually say that because of this feeling that now you know the Lord and you have some assurance. There is no assurance in feeling. The simple believeth every word. Okay, look at John chapter 4, verse 48. You know, Jesus did a lot of miracles. Jesus did a lot of miracles and a lot of healing. Jesus is the one that did probably more healing than anyone else. 4, verse 48. What was Jesus' desire? Did Jesus want the world to be healed? What was Jesus' desire? You know, we talk about a lot of verses, and we'll have a lot of arguments over verses and passages of Scripture. But you know, one thing that you have to be careful is that you do not take certain verses of Scripture and take them completely out of the principles of the Scripture. I mean, the principles of the Scripture are things that go through the Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and you'll find that these things are predominant all the way through the Scriptures. Well, one thing I think you'll find predominant about Jesus' attitude was that he was not that interested in physical healing or in the outward signs. Look what he says in John 4:48. Jesus said unto them, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Now, he said that disgusted. He said that because he was disgusted no matter what, how much he did. He says, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Why can't you believe without signs and wonders? Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. Look at verse 28. No, I mean verse 29. That's right. Verse 29. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. You look what he says. If Jesus Christ was so interested in our physical well-being, if he was so demanding that we would be all healed and whole, then he would never have made this statement. He would have said, look, you do not have to be, he would have said, when you get rescued from hell, you will be whole, or something of that nature. Here he says, it's much more important if you have a problem with your eye to pluck it out, to make sure of something spiritual, to make sure of a better, a more important plane, which is the spiritual realm. He says, if your hand bothers you, cut it off. Now, Jesus Christ apparently here is teaching that you ought to become crippled if you're not crippled in order to make sure that your spirit is right. Jesus was not teaching that everybody ought to be whole. Look at Matthew 9, verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes, and within themselves, said, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. You know what it says here? It says that Jesus Christ, when they brought this man in, he obviously saw, immediately he saw that the man was on a bed that he wasn't walking in. He knew immediately that the man was sick, and he said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. What was Jesus' first desire? What did Jesus want for that man? He wanted his sins to be forgiven, and he wanted all of them to know that that man's sins were forgiven. He wants your sins to be forgiven. He doesn't want your body healed. If he wanted your body healed, how many times did he say, don't tell anybody so that people won't know? Because if you tell people what I've done to you, then they'll be flocking all over me, and I won't have any time, not even to rest. He says, don't tell anybody. He wanted a little bit of time out. Now, if he was really sincerely considering that all these people, and really feeling sorry for all these people who were sick and sickly, then he would not have He would never have told people, don't tell anybody else. I want you to bring them all to me. We'll get them all done. Or he would have just spoke the word and it all would have been done. He wouldn't have had to do all this. The fact is, Jesus Christ's first desire, and as a matter of fact, I think it's probably his only desire. I don't think he really had a special desire to heal anyone physically. I think he really had the desire to heal them spiritually. And the physical thing was just a means to a goal. Look at John chapter 6, verse 26. Amen. Praise the Lord. John chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. He says, don't labor for the meat that perisheth. Don't labor for the things that you can see or for the body. He saw all these people that came to him, and they were interested in him. They said they wanted to make him king, but he made a difference. He said, look, you people, you weren't interested in the fact that you saw the miracle. You were only interested in your belly and that you were filled. You know, the Lord, he was very wearied at the people's insistence on these physical things. All the way through, you find that he was. Look at John chapter 10, verse 38. He says, but if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. He says, he gives us here the reason why he did all these works. Right here is the very reason why he made all these signs. And here it is, he says, if you don't believe what I'm saying, then believe the works. These signs were for the Jew to make it very clear that they were disbelieving in spite of all the signs that God had given them. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. So bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. The witness was to the Word of God. God was interested in giving the Word, and the signs were just a support to the Word of God. They were just a pointer to the Word of God. They were saying, this is the Word of God by these signs and miracles. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I personally believe that the signs of the apostles ended with the apostles. I believe that they ended when the last apostle died, and perhaps even sooner than that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8, I believe, is talking about the Word of God. And when it comes, look what it says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. He speaks here about something perfect coming. I believe that what is perfect that comes is the Word of God. And when it came and became complete, then there was no more need for the signs to prove that it was complete. Because after all of that, you find out that when he was given the Word of God, the whole purpose for apostles, the whole purpose for signs was to prove the apostles. And the whole purpose of apostles was to give the Word of God. You'll find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Says, but we all... Better yet, let's read from verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. He speaks over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 of a glass. A glass meaning a mirror. Now the glass, every time that it's used, is in the same context as the Word of God. He says we find that this glass is our mirror. And right here he's talking about the Word of God, and the glass is what changes us. Look at James chapter 2. Chapter 1, excuse me. James chapter 1, verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The glass is speaking of the word of God. And the word of God, when it came and was complete, it says that that which is in part shall be done away. And I believe that's talking about the signs of the apostles. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 5. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 5 says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. You see, the Word of God, the revelation of the Word of God, is given to the apostles and the prophets. And these apostles and prophets had signs to back them up. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, which is the real point of the message. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. One of the parentheses in the Bible. I like parentheses. It says right here, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Ever since the signs have ceased, nobody could come and say that we had to have these signs in order to believe. The fact is that now we walk by faith and what the Scriptures say. And every one of us must live our lives according to this rule. We walk by faith. We're not walking by what we see. We do not have to have a feeling. You know, a lot of times we want to serve the Lord and we're waiting for some feeling or some emotion to arrest us, to grab us, in order for us to feel confident going out and serving the Lord. But the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God we've heard this morning in these 2 hours. We pray, God, that we would be wise and not simple. Dear Lord, that you'd fill us with your Spirit, a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind. Oh, Father, we pray that you'd touch every heart and life that's here and bless us. We ask, Father, that you would bring in the amount of money needed to finish out the drying in and the completion of the outward side of this building. Lord, we commit these people and this work, all that we have to do, into thy hands, and we give thee thanks for that which you've done for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Lord bless you.